Need nullification in your state? Go to 10thAmendmentCenter.com and click on Model Legislation. Bills we wrote, ready to be marched right into your state house. Just go to 10thAmendmentCenter.com/legislation.
Hello, my name is Michael Bolden. I'm the founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center. Back on June 25th, 2006, when I first registered our domain name, I was hoping to reach just a few people and open their eyes to the views of decentralization and limited government as the founders gave it to us in the Constitution. 5 years later, as we approach our anniversary, I realize we've reached far more than just a few people. With your help, we can continue to grow and build our 10th Amendment and nullification movement and take it right to the mainstream. Please join us with a pledge to the 10th Amendment Center today. Visit 10thAmendmentCenter.com/donate.
The Peace President bombs. The TSA gropes and scams. The drug war rages on. The Fed prints and prints and prints. What do we do about it? At Nullify Now tour stops around the country, hear speakers like Tom Woods, Stuart Rhodes, Jim Babka, and many others. Learn about nullification and put it into practice right now. Visit nullifynow.com for more information. That's nullifynow.com.
Obamacare. Cap and trade. Body scanners at airports. Not defending the Defense of Marriage Act. Does this administration do anything constitutional? The 2010 election sweep was a start in the right direction, but much more needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are no quick political fixes. Getting back to limited government comes only in the form of educated voters who know the proper role of government. Curious to know what the proper role is? The John Birch Society has been teaching this for over 50 years. Call for a free DVD, Overview of America, and see why people are calling this the most profound video ever. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and ask for Overview of America. Pay only $5 for shipping and handling. Call 800-JBS-USA1 now.
Is that the TSA in your pocket? Or are you just happy to be listening to TRX?
Our friends in New York 6 weeks ago passed a statute that says marriage can be between two people of the same sex. Well, you know what? That's New York, and that's their business, and that's fine with me.
Oh, that's going to be fun to talk about. Rick Perry there talking about same-sex marriage in New York City. Rick Santorum was not too happy about it. We'll get to that next segment. But, John Bush, we got a special guest that I'd hope you'd give a personal introduction to, and we're really excited to have here on the show.
Sure, yeah. We are very pleased to bring you Sheriff Richard Mack, the constitutional sheriff, who's really made quite the name for himself for getting out there and leading by example and not only educating people about the 10th Amendment, but actually putting it into play, of course, really pushing back against the federal intrusion of the Brady Bill. They were seeking to commandeer local officials for federal ends, which of course is constitutional, and Sheriff Mack down in Arizona had an opportunity to call him on it, and he did just that. And since then, he's been going across the country and spreading the message of constitutionally limited government and the importance of decentralized government, the 10th Amendment, and also what you can do in your local county along with the sheriff in order to push back on federal encroachment. So Sheriff Mack, thanks for coming on the show. How are you today?
You know, John, I was going to hope that you would talk for like 60 more seconds. Soon as I said, please introduce Sheriff Mack, John Bush, he dropped. So I don't know if this is because our technical skills are probably a little bit low. But What you're talking about there is absolutely right. I mean, he led the effort to basically say no to Washington, D.C. He's one of the few guys who actually won a Supreme Court case. I mean, but he'll tell us about that a little bit more in a second. I think we have him back here. Sheriff Mack, are you with us? No, I guess not. John, tell us a little bit more of that story. What do you got?
Sure. Well, one of the things I appreciate Sheriff Mack for is him illustrating the importance of getting involved at the county level and at the extreme local level, especially with the office of the sheriff, who, of course, is the highest constitutional law enforcement authority in the county. Of course, you have city police departments and municipalities, but these cities are mere corporations who have a charter with the state, whereas the counties, at least here in Texas, I'm pretty sure this is the same all across the country, the counties actually have a higher constitutional legitimacy, and the cities operate as corporate charters within the county, as state charters. But the sheriff and the office of the sheriff really has a lot of power as far as protecting the constitutional rights of the citizens in that particular county. Of course, that's the original purpose of government. We've drifted so far from there, but government is supposed to protect the life, liberty, and property of its citizens, and the sheriff is supposed to do just that. But just as we've drifted at the federal level, we've also drifted all across the country. The sheriff here in Central Texas in Travis County, Sheriff Greg Hamilton, I actually went to sit down with him probably about 2 years ago. Chuck Young and I, on behalf of Texans for Accountable Government, this guy's a Democrat. There's only about two Republicans, I think, or one now at this point, that are still in office here in Travis County. It's totally controlled by the Democrats. But, we would at least hope that this guy would be in tune with civil liberties or social justice, as a lot of the lefties like to push for here with the law enforcement. But unfortunately, it's the same old story. He's basically carrying out the will of the federal government, as we see so often. They're bringing in a lot of financing. They're bringing in a lot of funds in the form of subsidies and federal grants.
And elected officials love funding. I think with that, we have Sheriff Mack back with us. Sheriff Mack, glad to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you guys.
You're here with Michael Bolden, and John Bush is filling in for us here on 10th Hour Radio. So first, Sheriff Mack, tell us, what's the Sheriff Mack story? I mean, I know we could probably talk for hours, but what's the brief snippet? What makes you – why are you Sheriff Mack, and why should anyone care?
Well, my kids think I'm just still an old fogey dork. And so they're going to – they would tell your audience, don't worry about my dad. He's just a hacker golfer and doesn't know what he's doing anyway. But if you follow my career, you'll go back to 1994 when I was the first sheriff in the United States to file a lawsuit against the Clinton administration to stop the incursions and the overreach associated with the Brady Bill. And you need to understand that there were actually five Brady Bills scheduled, one to be passed 1 year after the other during a five-year period starting the first one was signed into law November of 1993. And this is absolutely amazing, because this is the first time in United States history of all the corruption and all the idiocy that has come out of Washington, D.C., this is the first time an unfunded, unconstitutional mandate attempted to commandeer the office of sheriffs all across this country for federal bidding with a threat of arrest if we failed to comply. And all of that's true. It's all documented in my decision. It's actually in the Brady Bill itself. Anybody can see it in there. And I was at a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix when we learned what the Brady Bill really was. Now, I know this isn't going to shock you guys, but it might shock some Americans that Washington, D.C., including the White House, especially Bill Clinton, never told the truth about what the Brady Bill really was. I know that's a big shocker for you. And this was when you guys are still there, right?
We're here.
Okay, good. this threat of arrest came to us pursuant to the BATF, you know, the same organization that is running guns down to Mexico illegally right now, and scamming and shamming the United States people, or the people of the United States. But the BATF agents came to our sheriff's meeting and told us what we had to do and handed us a 25-page document as to what we had to do to comply with the Brady Bill. And we had to use our own department resources, our own manpower, our own budgets to comply with this unfunded mandate. And what really offended me by this is the federal government already had a contract with me to house federal prisoners. And this time, though, the federal government comes to us and says, you're going to do this because we tell you to, and if you don't like it, well, too bad. We could arrest you if you fail to comply. And I was the only sheriff for like a month in the entire country that said no way and filed a lawsuit. If the sheriffs had really done their job, we wouldn't have filed a lawsuit. We would have simply told the federal government to take the Brady Bill and shove it up 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and leave us the hell alone.
Nice.
And that's
very
what,
nice.
That's what I wish we had done. But I think it was the right thing to do. Looking back, I really didn't have much of an alternative at the time. And about 4 weeks after I filed, Sheriff Prince from Montana filed with me in this suit, and then five other sheriffs across the country. So we're talking about seven county sheriffs out of like 3,100 joined this lawsuit and told the federal government, you cannot tell us what to do. You are not my boss. You can't fire me. You can't hire me. Stay out of my county and leave me alone.
That's great.
It's amazing. And the case itself, still to this day, absolutely enthralls me. It went much further, much broader, much deeper than I ever thought it would. It was written by Justice Scalia in a 5-4 split decision. And he says in there, in not so many words, he says the federal government is not our boss, that the states are not subject to federal direction, and that's a direct quote, and that if we're going to stop the incursions of the federal government, the states must do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it clear that state sovereignty and the 10th Amendment are the responsibility of the state governments and the county governments and the sheriffs to enforce. And I always ask this question in my presentation. Who's going to enforce states' rights? Who's going to enforce state sovereignty and local autonomy? Are we all waiting for Barack Obama to choose the state sovereignty czar? That's not going to happen. And so it has to be the states that are going to stand for state sovereignty in the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times it takes an individual, a hero, a champion of the 10th Amendment to get it out there. And we appreciate what you did back in the mid-90s. One thing I think about your story, it's real inspirational that, you know, you had the huevos, so to speak, to go toe-to-toe with the federal government, especially a corrupt administration like the Clinton administration. What are some of the things that you considered when deciding whether or not you should move forward with this lawsuit and really, you know, give it all you got?
Well, that's a darn good question, and I'll tell you honestly, it may have actually been my wife, and I really don't say that in jest at all. When I left the meeting in Phoenix, I had a 3-hour drive from the sheriff's conference that we were having, where the BATF sprung this document on us describing what we had to do to comply with this idiocy. And I had 3 hours to brood about how disgusted I was and what I could possibly do. I had no idea what I could do. When I left the meeting, I told the sheriffs, that the other sheriffs who all acquiesced, they were all against it. And they all were cussing about it and saying how much they hated it. But at the end of the day, they all said, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. You can't fight City Hall. Well, you know, I've always asked that question, too. Who wants you to believe that you can't fight City Hall?
Yeah.
Well, City Hall, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So especially the one in Washington, D.C. So by the time I drove up in my driveway at my house, I realized it hit me very hard that I was going to sue my own government, that I was going to take on these guys. And that scared me. But the scariest thing is I had to go in the house and tell my wife. And she's a small little thing, but she can get kind of mean sometimes, you know. And so I went in and I just blurted it out. I was so preoccupied with it and so nervous about it and so certain that she was going to just blow up at me and say, "Are you crazy?" And if she had, I probably wouldn't have done it. And I really believe that. I'm trying to put myself into place. And if she had said something like, "Are you nuts? The windmills are real out there. They fight back. Mm-hmm. These are federal windmills, Mr. Quixote. And we have five children. Look at all the sacrifices and everything we went through to get this job. And now you want to just throw it all away for some stupid crusade that you're going to lose anyway? And you can't beat the Clinton administration. You can't beat the federal government. You have no money, and you have no resources. You have no national organization behind you." Seriously, I just blurted out, "I'm going to sue the federal government to stop the Brady Bill." And she goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I'm going to take on the Clinton administration. I'm going to sue them because they're commandeering me. They're forcing me to participate in a federal gun control law that I know I can't participate in." And I said, "It's going to cost us everything. It's going to cost us our career and home and job, everything, and moving, you know." And she goes, "Well, as I recall, we weren't really looking for a job when we landed this one." and then she said, because it was a real miracle that I was elected sheriff. I hadn't lived in my hometown for 12 years. I had never been a cop in Arizona or in my hometown. And I walked into town after being gone 12 years and said, "Hey, make me your head law enforcement officer." And I won. And it was a real tough campaign. I barely made it. And then 4 years later, I was reelected. And that was really tough. And then in 1994, I filed this lawsuit. So my wife then said, "Maybe this is why you were supposed to be sheriff."
Yeah.
And she really floored me with that, and so I said, "I'm going to take that as a yes." And she just kind of shrugged, like,
"Hey,
you know,
that's as good a support as most people could even ask for." Now, Sheriff Mack, you had mentioned previously that if you had your way, like if you really could have done something instead of just suing the federal government, you would have told them to shove it up 1600 Washington. And then back when you spoke at our event, the Nullify Now event in Phoenix earlier this year, you said something that was along the lines of, like, "I believe in state nullification, jury nullification, and sheriff nullification." Tell us what you mean a little bit about that, kind of juxtapose those two viewpoints where you're telling the feds to shove the bill, who cares about the Brady Bill, and what's your view on nullification and the duty of people in states and localities?
Well, it's actually, and this decision of mine, as you very well know, reinforces the state nullification concept and principle that the states are not puppets of a ventriloquist Congress. That's a quote again from my decision. And we have the responsibility to interpose on behalf of our citizens. We have sworn an oath. The sheriff is the only elected law enforcement official in the United States or in his county. He promised in God's name when he took his job that he would uphold and defend and obey, protect and preserve the United States Constitution. It doesn't matter who violates the Constitution. It doesn't matter if it's drug runners or illegal aliens or gangbangers or the barber down on Main Street. And it doesn't matter if it makes no difference if the threat comes from the IRS or FDA or EPA or any other alphabet soup bureaucracy from Washington, D.C. The sheriff is duty-bound to interpose himself on behalf of his citizens. And he swore an oath that he would. And for any sheriff to make some sort of exception or exempt federal officials or other government officials because they happen to work for the government, but they can do whatever they want, and they can destroy lives and destroy careers and destroy families and arrest people because they grow tomatoes in their front yard or because a farmer deals in raw milk and happens to distribute raw milk to people who really want it and believe that it is much better for you and it has the proper kind of vitamins and enzymes that their family needs, then who in the hell is the FDA to get in the way of that?
Yeah.
And why would any sheriff allow that to happen anywhere in the country, which they are already doing? And you can see that on my website where I'm drinking raw milk with a couple of farmers on the state capital of Madison, Wisconsin. But the thing of it is, we have a responsibility to nullify the idiocy and never become part of the enforcement of stupid laws in this country, of which there are literally thousands. And right now we have so many law enforcement agents of the federal government is that they're always trying to find something to do. And they trip over each other because there's so many of them out there, and they got to find something to do. And mm-hmm. when they do that, they end up usually abusing a local citizen. And I'm proud to know sheriffs like Sheriff Glenn Palmer in Grant County, Oregon, and Gil Gilbertson from Josephine County, Oregon, and Mark Gower in Utah, and others all across the country, Sheriff Smith from Maine and Washington County. There's a lot of sheriffs now, and I'll mention one other one. He's a really good guy, Sheriff Bradley Rogers in Elkhart County, Indiana. And he's starting to stand. And all these sheriffs now are starting to stand and realize that if citizens are being abused, you don't just turn to the citizen and go, well, I hope you can afford a good lawyer. You know, why would anybody say that to a citizen when the sheriff could intervene and stop the whole thing? And for a citizen to have to spend everything they've ever owned to fight injustice from the federal government is not justice at all. And if the sheriff could intervene and stop it, well, that's what sheriff nullification is. That's what we should have done as sheriffs in Arizona. We should have said, no, the Brady Bill is not going to be enforced here. Thanks very much anyway. But you guys are being really funny trying to tell us what you think we should be doing. And if you want to tell us what to do, you can come out here and live in my county and vote for me. But that's the only way you get to tell me what to do.
Now, we just need 3,000 more sheriffs, and we are well on our way. But I think this is an essential view that it really is localities. Sheriff Mack, do you have a couple minutes to stay over or take a couple of calls?
Yeah, I'll stay on because, besides, we only need a few hundred sheriffs, not 3,000.
Oh, see, now you can tell us a little bit about that. Because everybody always tells me we got to have everybody. So I want to hear your view on how, if we just get a good handful, a few dozen that are really good, how we can make a difference. If you have questions, it's 323-843-6008. And we'll be back here on TRX Tempo Radio in just a minute.
They say I'm crazy. I really don't care.
Did you know you can track current nullification efforts and other legislation at TenthAmendmentCenter.com? Click on Legislative Tracking for all the up-to-date info. The Transportation Security Administration, otherwise known as the TSA. Born on November 19, 2001, this criminal arm of the federal government was only the infancy of the police state we now live in. TSA breaks constitutional law countless times every day, in every state, all over America, without the authority to do so. Under the 10th Amendment, airport operation falls under state jurisdiction, not federal. This is just part of the Fed's tyranny over the rights of the American people. It's time to wake up. Stay informed on all of the criminal actions of the federal government at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Also, visit nullifynow.com for information on 10th Amendment Center conferences in your area. There's a fever sweeping the nation.
I got a fever, and the only prescription...
The Constitution. Citizens are standing up and demanding that the federal government abide by the Constitution. Do your part in this constitutional revival. Visit 10thAmendmentCenter.com/volunteer and plug in to the movement. For more information on topics being discussed on today's show, visit us at radio.10thAmendmentCenter.com. That's radio.10thAmendmentCenter.com. TRX. You're helping you to unlearn what they told you at government school.
I also strongly believe that we want to make sure the No Child Left Behind Act continues to work. You measure every day. That's why you're successful business people. I mean, you know what your business is doing. I believe we ought to extend that same principle to our public schools and ask a simple question. Can a child read at grade level? And in order to determine that, that's why you measure. And if the answer is yes, we all say, great. If the answer is no, the answer question of it, then what are you going to do about it? So the principle behind the No Child Left Behind Act is to set high standards, believe every child can learn, and measure to see if we're getting results. And Congress need not weaken such a good piece of legislation. Children do learn when standards are high.
TenthAmendmentCenter.com, chatting with the Constitutional Sheriff, Richard Mack. You can check him out at richardmack.com. And just before we went to break, Sheriff Mack was talking about you don't need to have, 100% of the population. You don't need to have all of the masses. For example, really a small handful of irate, tireless minority can make some stuff happen. How do you envision just a handful of sheriffs in some select counties really making a difference nationwide, Sheriff Mack?
Well, and by the way, it's sheriffmack.com, not Richard Mack.
Okay.
Yeah, sheriffmack.com. So anyway, quite honestly, if we get 100 sheriffs doing this, it's going to crescendo. It's going to snowball all across the country. Other sheriffs are going to see that they want to be constitutional sheriffs, and that's what this is really about. The constitutional sheriff concept has taken off, and it is something being talked about in every state in this country. Every state is now talking about the concept as to whether or not the sheriff or candidates running for sheriff will actually keep their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Who will actually stand for freedom? And some people are actually saying, well, that's not your sheriff's job. Could you imagine that there would be a branch or any leg of government anywhere in America that would not have it as its primary goal to stand for freedom? That somehow fighting the drug war is more important than standing for liberty? That somehow fighting traffic problems or drunk driving or any other the other mundane job assignments given to sheriffs routinely, that any of that could be more important than standing for the Bill of Rights? It is astonishing to me how stupid we have become in this country, and that we're all enthralled and eat up this propaganda going on in Washington, D.C. right now that's based on, and people in this country are lining up and calling Washington and calling the people who are holding out, trying to hold the line on our national debt, telling them, please compromise and raise the debt ceiling. Have you ever heard of anything more stupid in your life? What a bunch of sheep, what a bunch of slaves we are in this country that actually tell the government, please enslave us more with more wonderful debt.
Yeah, it's getting pretty absurd for sure. But thankfully,
and we might lose our AAA credit rating if we don't borrow more money to pay off more debt.
Fear tactic.
With borrowed money.
Fear tactics. Now, yeah, we're going to go to some of these questions coming up, but, you know, of course, you're not alone. We got an organization, Oath Keepers. You're really close to that organization. How do you think they're helping in this effort to push back?
Well, they are. I'm on the National Board of Directors, and we're actually starting one of our own, very similar to Oath Keepers, which is the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association. That association, I would just use Stuart Rhodes Group Oath Keepers, because that's basically what we're saying too. But we want to get more specific with sheriffs and peace officers in this country, that we're going to train them and educate them to where they will become constitutional guards, that they will keep their oath, that they will put freedom first, and that we will have an association where they will stand together. And I think that's really the problem that I had when I filed the lawsuit. I didn't know of any other sheriff in the United States that wanted to join me in this lawsuit. So I felt like the Lone Ranger, so I said, well, to protect myself, I better file a lawsuit. But if you have other sheriffs standing together in this, if you have, now there's 254 counties in Texas, if you get 15, 20, 25, 30 sheriffs in this state standing together, unitedly, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, within a year, there's going to be 100, 150 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And they will see, because their constituents will see, why is the sheriff in this county standing for freedom and you're not? What
yep.
is the matter with you that you won't keep your oath, but he will?
Yeah, it'll go exponential from there.
And we're also going to put a lot of pressure on these sheriffs. We're going to send a survey to vet every sheriff in this country. Every sheriff in the United States will get this survey that I have just completed.
Wow.
That's going to be passed around by the CSPOA, that will ask them 12 questions as to whether or not they will keep their oath, that they will protect their citizens from tyrants and from gun control. And the first question is, will you allow, if the United Nations and the federal government try to confiscate guns in your county, what will you do? And it gives them four possible answers, and then it gives them a place to answer anything they want. But if they refuse to answer, we're going to put them on the website, because we're going to show the answers of every sheriff on our website. And we're going to stop pussyfooting around with these guys and have them declare publicly as to whether or not they will stand behind their citizens and for freedom.
Yeah, it's essential to get people on the record where they are, where they aren't, and where they refuse to kind of go along with at least telling us their view. Let's go to Sandy. Sandy's out in Florida. Sandy, you have a question for Sheriff Mack?
Yes, Sheriff Mack. I was considering going to the 10th Amendment out in Jacksonville in October, where you may have been a guest in. And you may not, but I work for county government,
mm-hmm.
and I live in another county, and okay. I live in a rural county, and the county that I work for is really into Sustainable Development Agenda 21. And I got very concerned about what may be going on in my rural community in regards to the presidential executive order, which was recently signed. My question is, are you worried about that at all in your area?
Well, I'm worried about it in everybody's area, but specifically you're worried about maybe FEMA coming in or martial law being declared?
I'm worried about property rights, sir.
Well, that's all part of it. Yeah, okay. I think every American, especially farmers and ranchers, should be very concerned about property rights, because they're the ones that see that it means nothing to the federal government and some state governments as well. Sometimes the state governments can be just as tyrannical as the federal government. But I think if we get sheriffs that will stand for you and put themselves in the way, your property rights are going to be protected. And we need to get these sheriffs educated. Now, and I want all of you to know and understand, you still if you're talking about a sheriff or other public officials who have never read the Constitution, you can't go up to them and start talking about, well, how come you're not going after people who are responsible for chemtrails? Or how come you're not going after people for this conspiracy theory? Or how come you're not arresting Barack Obama for not having a birth certificate? Or this has to be A, B, C, D. You have to start at the beginning with these guys, and they have to know and understand, first of all, the importance of their oath of office. They have to study the Constitution. They have to study what the Founding Father said. They've got to study what made the American Revolution so important and impactful, and where the Second Amendment came from, and why they will not allow it to be tarnished or trampled upon. And then they get into property rights, and that they see that protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property is essential to American principles and American idealism, and that we can't have freedom without property. But most of these guys don't know it, and they wouldn't know eminent domain from a hole in the ground. And these guys have got to be taught that my home is my castle, and that just because the Supreme Court or some idiot judge in Indiana rules that cops can do whatever they want, that sheriffs know they will not do that just because some judge gives them permission to. And that's what this is all about. And property is essential. And if we get sheriffs to start reading and studying these principles, then they will be equipped with the proper tools to actually protect them. But right now we have a huge amount of ignorance within the law enforcement community, and they're not trained in the Constitution. They're trained to tase people, and that it's us against them, and that we're going to force people into compliance, and that's the problem. And we've got to change that paradigm over to the freedom and constitutional paradigm, and we can do it.
Sandy, thanks for calling in. Sheriff Mack, we've got a question from our chat room. Andrew down in Florida as well. I guess Florida is a big hit. I guess you're scheduled to speak at a rally in front of the Florida Sheriff Convention, I believe.
On Sunday.
Go ahead. Okay, he was asking, if all 67 sheriffs come out to listen to you, now if this happens, what would you tell them regarding the TSA specifically?
Well, I think it's going to be part of my talk, and I don't want to give it all away, but it's back what I was saying earlier at the beginning of this interview, that the sheriff is not allowed to make exemptions for government officials. If a TSA agent is breaking federal law, the sheriff can't turn his back on that. How could we possibly say, okay, it's okay for federal officials or state officials to break the law and sexually assault people, and yet turn right around, and if you or I do it, or one of our neighbors does it, then they're going to be put in jail, and they'll have to register as a sex offender for the rest of their lives. This is the kind of hypocrisy that has made our justice system stand on its head, and most people just don't get this. And when you look at an 85-year-old lady having to take off her adult diaper just because the TSA wants to make sure she's not an international terrorist, this is when things have gotten ridiculous, and sheriffs and anybody with any sense of decency would step in and make sure this doesn't happen again. And it just happened the second time to a guy who has a problem with his, and I can't remember what the disease was, but anyway, he has a urine bag hooked to his stomach that automatically fills up. And the first time the TSA got a hold of it, they actually punctured it and spread this guy with his own urine. And the second time they did it, even after he filed a complaint and got an apology from the director of the TSA, they did it again, except it didn't break this time. And so we still have this kind of idiocy going on. And somewhere, someone in government has got to say, enough is enough. If you look at all of the historical abuses in our country's history, you will see one thing missing. Somebody with a badge actually doing their job to uphold and defend the Constitution and interfering to make sure Rosa Parks didn't go to jail, or Randy Weaver's wife wasn't killed, or the people at Waco weren't burned and shot at, or that students in Kent State University were not shot at like little ducks in a pond taking target practice. Every one of these incidents had men with badges and in uniform that should have stopped these sort of things, and that is exactly what should happen today. And that's why I say the sheriffs should be answering the call to duty. The sheriffs in Florida have been asked to do their duty. I know one sheriff there that actually said something else I have agreed with entirely. If a citizen comes to us and files a complaint about a TSA agent groping them or sexually assaulting them, it will be investigated just like any other complaint.
Sheriff Mack, this is really inspirational stuff, and I wish we could just talk for hours and hours, and I know we could probably tap you for all kinds of info, but unfortunately we're going to have to go to break and end this time. Hopefully you'll be able to come back and chat with us again. We really appreciate you spending a little time with us here tonight on 10th Radio. Why don't you give out the website again and where people can get some information on your work?
SheriffMack.com.
Thank you again, sir. We'll be back, everyone else, in just about 2 minutes.